Welcome to Velaskar. This hill upon which we are sitting is Lord Vishnu. And somehow we're allowed to sit upon him. The four hills on that side that we usually think of as Barsana or Bishavanupur, they're all the heads of Lord Brahma. Many wonderful pastimes occurred here. Because Srimati Radharani's, so many of her youthful pastimes were right over here before she became married and went to Yavat, which is in that direction. So this place is especially known because when before Srimati Radharani attained her youthfulness, she and her friends, just before that age, just exactly prior to youthfulness, they used to play in the dust of Velaskar. So please think for a moment about what that means, about the dust of Velaskar, that Srimati Radharani is, and all the Sakis, they're all intimately connected with this dust, and they have touched it with their lotus feet. They have played in the dust. So how holy that dust is, how capable that dust is of fulfilling the deepest desires of the devotees who are sitting right here. Once, because it was quite dusty, there was a great dust storm here. And Srimati Radharani was within a kunja with her friends and just playing all types of girlish games in the dust. And when that great dust storm came, Krishna had come and he wanted to go into the kunja to have pastimes with Srimati Radharani, and the Sakis would not let him in. And this great dust storm came. And all the Sakis covered their eyes because it's not at all pleasant to have dust in your eyes. And all the Sakis covered their eyes. And guess what Krishna did, naughty as he is. Now, we should also remember that this is the person, inconceivable as it is, he is the supreme person. In the midst of the intimacy of Braja, we should remember that these activities of Krishna's here, they are not at all the activities of an ordinary person or even an extraordinary person, but they are the activities of the most extraordinary person, the person for whom maintaining the entirety of unlimited universes is mama angsa ejo tejo sambhava. It's just one small part of his potency. He has an inconceivable transcendental body that bewildered Lord Brahma completely. Lord Brahma, when he saw, he glimpsed the smallest amount of the potency of Krishna, where Narayans, unlimited Narayans were expanding from Krishna. What to speak of unlimited universes? And these forms of Lord Narayan were being worshipped by all living entities in the universe, and they were covered with tulsi. That supreme person, who is the only one who is swatantra, who is the only one who is independent, he is the only one who can do exactly as he likes. Everyone else is controlled and dependent on other things and other objects and other people. He does exactly what he likes, and this is what he likes to do. He likes to play in the dust of Braja in Barshana. He likes to manifest dust storms so that the sakis will cover their eyes and that he can walk right into the kunja and give Srimati Radharani a kiss. This is quite astounding, if one thinks about it. This is what he likes to do. And what is the secret of what he's liking to doing? He's causing the devotees, because he is Rasaraj. He knows exactly how to manifest rasa, the sweet taste, in the exchange with his devotees. He knows how to manifest that taste so that their ecstasy will just increase and increase and increase and increase. Because we are tiny and limited, and because Krishna is unlimited, when one develops one's relationship with Krishna, one's capacity to taste happiness becomes the same as Krishna's happiness. Ability to taste happiness, or even more than Krishna's ability. So it becomes unlimited. And right now we are stuck with our limited, petty, small, selfish, miserable attempts at happiness. And here, in the dust of Velaskar, we can shift that. There, over there, that beautiful temple that one can see over there is the Sriji Mandir. Not one can see it over there, but one can see it over there, just a little over the hill. And that is wonderful, wonderful deities of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. Very, very, very sweet. Very, very, very sweet. Established by Sri Narayan Bhatta Goswami, a contemporary of Mahaprabhu. Over there, there is the Jaipur Mandir. Jaipur? Yeah, Jaipur Mandir. And at one time, the king of Jaipur wanted to establish his capital right here and wanted to bring the deities of Radhakrishna from the Sriji Mandir to over to his Mandir. And it was agreed, and he built a beautiful temple, and the court was going to be there, and they would all serve the deities. And then it was understood that that mandir was in Rajasthan, and this mandir was in Uttar Pradesh. The line, the imaginary line between the two states is right between, and therefore it wasn't done. And also, the deities. Do you know what happened? The deities? The Pujari had a dream that Srimati Radharani didn't want to move. So it was never done, and that's a wonderful temple over there. And just down on the side of this hill is a very wonderful place called Sankarikor. And an incredible pastime took place there. But keep in mind that these are the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has unlimited potency. And listen to this pastime. You probably already are quite familiar with it. But this is how he desires. Because think about it. If you're unlimited and all-powerful and completely independent, what will you do for pleasure? What will you do? This is what Krishna does for pleasure. The gopis would always, there's a very thin, like, gully, a thin passageway between the two rocks. You can see it, actually. And in a few days, we'll probably end up, some of us will walk back to our ashram and we'll pass right by there. So there's a very thin gully, passageway. And the gopis would always carry the milk products on their heads going through there to bring them to the market. And do you think that Kanaya would just let them do such things without increasing their ecstasy?
No.
No. So he would stand there, because there was no other way to get through, and say, this is the time where you have to pay your tax. You gopis are always going back and forth with your valuable products, and you never pay any tax. So of course, the gopis would say, what are you talking about, Krishna? Srimati, who are we paying the tax to over here? Srimati Radharani is Vrindavaneeshwari. It's her place. No, I'm sorry. You have to pay tax. We'll take some of the milk products. And the gopis, it's impossible for us to understand the exchange of ecstasy. Because when there is love, the little exchanges cause awakenings of that love, even though it may be in the form of some anger or something. Just ecstasy increases because the basis is love. So just imagine the unlimited love. We can't, but just think about unlimited love being exchanged between Krishna and his beloved gopis, and between the gopis and their beloved Krishna. Unlimited, unlimitedly unlimited ecstasy of love, spiritual love, transcendental love. So every day or every few days, the gopis would be coming through and Krishna would give them so much trouble. Every time, practically speaking. Now the gopis are very, very, very
clever,
exactly. They're not going to let Krishna get away with this. One might even say, and in this place we could say it, they're more clever than Krishna. So they laid a trap for him and Maru Mangal and the other boys who used to harass them. So hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of gopis are at the command of Srimati Radharani and Lalita Devi, because all the Vaishnavas, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, also there, everyone serves in the Gana, the group of Lalita Devi. So Lalita Devi and Srimati Radharani called thousands and thousands and thousands of gopis, and they hid behind trees, because it's a wonderful forest here. They hid behind trees. They hid in the caves surrounding Sankarikor. They hid, and they just waited. They waited for the signal from Lalita Devi when they would come out of hiding and capture these naughty boys. So they came. The gopis, they sent two gopis or three gopis ahead with the milk products balanced on their heads and walking through the gully, this very narrow. And Krishna said, you can't do this. You have to pay taxes every time. And they said, the gopis said, oh really, land is the property of Srimati. No, you have to pay taxes now. Oh really? And then Srimati Radharani made some sign, and thousands of gopis came out. And 10, 15, 20, they captured one boy. Krishna was captured. Maru Mangal was captured. All of them were captured and surrounded. And they were tied up, and they would tie their sikhas to the trees. Yes. And they punished, they would slap their faces again. Even Krishna. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The gopis are slapping his face like that. And he's going, and Maru Mangal, they said, don't you ever do this again. I'll never do this again. Do you promise that you'll never, never give us trouble when we're walking? I promise. Anyway, it was all Krishna's fault. He made me do it. And they made him say it again and again. I promise never to do this again and again. Again and again. And Krishna, they made a very special punishment for him. They dressed him up as a gopi. They gave him a skirt, a shawl, and even a choli. They made him wear it. And then they put a huge pot of yogurt upon his head and made him walk through. Because these gopis are very, very strong. And this is after slapping him. And then, as Krishna was walking through, carrying a huge pot of yogurt on his head, Lalita Devi took a rock, and it was a clay pot, and threw it. And you know what happened? The yogurt pot broke. And you know what happened next? It poured down. And you know what happened next? Everyone just started laughing at Krishna. So these pastimes are ever-increasing oceans of ecstasy. When the smallest thing happens between two lovers, it increases their ecstasy. Even when there is anger on the side of one. Because then a different emotion comes out. Oh, she's angry at me. How can I stop her? And over there, on the hill over there, it is called Mangar, where Srimati Radharani went after she became angry at Krishna, because Krishna had made an appointment to meet her in a very, very secluded, private place. And on the way there, he met someone else who was a messenger of a competitor of Srimati Radharani. And that messenger said, "Oh, my Sakhi just wants to talk to you so badly, just for one minute. Just please come here for 1 minute. She just wants to talk to you. But I have another..." No, just for one minute. And after putting that bait to bring Krishna for 1 minute, that other Sakhi of the messenger, that other gopi, began talking with Krishna. And she's very... very shy and acting in this way. And Krishna began exchanging a conversation with her, enjoying, and he forgot completely about his appointment with Srimati Radharani. The time came and it passed. More time came and it passed. And then one of the parrot messengers, who are always circling all over Braj, I don't know if any of them are around right now, informing Vrinda Devi and Srimati Radharani, who has her own parrots. One of these parrots saw what was going on and came and told Srimati Radharani, who was already waiting and waiting and waiting, and she became so furious. This Krishna, he makes an appointment with me, and then he's already promised 100 times he'll never do this again, this kind of a thing. And he's done it again. I'm so angry with him. I don't want to have anything to do with him anymore. And in her anger, which is loving anger, which is one of the topmost expressions of prema bhakti, called man. Again, this is all on the transcendental platform, and the dealings in this world, they are just like mirror reflections, tasteless mirror reflections of that world. I mean, that world at this time is this world, because we're right here. So Krishna came and said, "How am I going to get out of this one? She's angry at me. I can't deny it, because the fact that it's true doesn't stop me from denying it, but I've been caught, and it's going to be worse for me." So somehow or another, there's so many different ways. You told one way with the sannyasi. Maharaj told that way with the sannyasi. So somehow or another, when I first heard this pastime, I heard that Krishna ended up having to put his head at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani here. And because there, Bhakti Devi, the ultimate Bhakti Devi, Ladini Shakti, Krishna's own internal energy, which is what Bhakti is. It's not created by us. We can't create Bhakti. But it's the energy of Krishna, Ladini Sambit, the energy of Krishna. At that place in Mangar, right here, that energy defeated God Himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And then a little closer, so that's Mangar, and then a little closer is Morkutir, where Krishna, and during the rainy season, raise your hand if you've been in Vrindavan during the rainy season, ever. Yeah, one of the special things, so many special things, but one is that the clouds are always in the sky. And at certain times, the clouds become very effulgent when the sun is behind them, especially in the early morning. The clouds give off such an incredible effulgence, darkish and effulgent, like the one can think easily of the complexion of Krishna. So, another wonderful thing at that time is that the thunder comes. And when the thunder comes, the peacocks give off their sound. What is the sound of a peacock? Mayur! Any peacocks? No. Any peacocks? Mayur! Mahabhagavad Prabhu. No, yes. Yeah, oh! No, but you also. He's just very shy, not like a peacock. That someone, go ahead, I want you. Oh. So it's said that they're always calling Meg Or, more clouds, more rain. And they begin to dance. And the dancing of the peacocks. And when one is fanning the deities with the peacock feather fans, one is reminded of how the peacocks dance and they rustle their feathers and they make a wonderful, wonderful... It's hard to... Can anyone make the sound of a peacock dancing as it rustles its feather? That one's pretty hard. It's almost like... Something like that, but not exactly. It's just...
More subtle.
It's more, yeah, more subtle. It's almost like bells, thousands of bells without any ringers inside. If you can try to imagine what that is. But it's amazing. So the peacocks make that sound. And the clouds are there, effulgent. And Srimati Radharani and her sham was so inspired by the dancing of the peacocks that they also wanted to dance like peacocks. So they assumed form, the form of peacocks, and danced in that Morkutir area. So, as they say, I don't know if it translates into Croatian or any of the other German, they say in the United States nowadays, how cool is that? So they were just dancing as peacocks. So this is the, and here we are in the places of where all these intimate, most intimate, ununderstandable by religionists. Ununderstandable, and these inconceivable pastime places, here we are sitting, and what we're going to do is chant the holy names of Krishna. Maharaj was in his class this morning, which was very, very inspiring. he was giving the moods of chanting, and speaking about the humility and the determination and the mood of servitorship, that I'm a servant. But right now I'm serving a master that just kicks me like I'm serving a donkey. And that donkey kicks me continuously. So how foolish is that? I'm getting my kicks, as they say. I'm getting kicked and kicked. I want to change who my master is. I'm a servant. I must serve. Now I want to be the servant of the servant of the servant, as Maharaj was explaining. Gopi Bharata Parakamalayo Dasa Dasana Das. I want to change who I serve, to become the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, who is the master of all these gopis, who is a master that becomes conquered by these gopis, covered by yogurt. Amazing. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who everyone is praying to, worshipping, please give me this, please give me that, please give me that, is covered by yogurt from the gopis. So we wish to pray that we can just get a glimpse, a hint of the ecstasy that has called so many exalted persons to Braja, to give up their eating, to give up their sleeping, to give up their material enjoyment, to give up their wealth. How much ecstasy must they be experiencing to willingly throw these things away? Throw them away. Raghunath Das Goswami threw them, was running from them. And his parents would capture him and forcibly bring him back, and he would run away again. How much ecstasy was he tasting when chanting the holy names of Krishna with tears running down his eyes, again and again, longing for the kind of servitorship. I am the servant. Daso smi. Gopi Bharta Parakamalaya. So this is the land, the dust, that Srimati Radharani and her sakis would play in. Tomorrow, we'll be visiting the place where this a poem that I'm going to read, just the first two verses, was written. Maybe it's a little my speculation, but I'll tell you why after. But I just wanted to read two of the verses written by Srila Rupa Goswami, where he prays to Vrindaranya, to Vrindadevi, because we were in Vrinda's place yesterday, and she is in charge. She is in charge of all of Braja. So Sri Rupa is praying to her, and perhaps a little bit of the dust from his mood can enter our heart, because he's praying to Vrindadevi before he makes his own prayers. I found this very interesting. This is what he says. Overcome with yearning and crying in the middle of the Vrindavan forest, I shall now reveal the deep mark burning tears have made in my heart. Aye Vrindavanande Tvaritam Mihate Sevanapara. O Vrindavan forest, he was praying to Vrindadevi. O Vrindavan forest, who amongst your devoted servants has not already attained the path of supreme transcendental bliss? It is only me who has been left out. I humbly beg you, please reveal in my heart the best way to attain my king and queen. Relevant prayer. Please be kind to me in this way. O Queen Vrinda, both Shruti and Smriti proclaim that Lord Murari eternally enjoys pastimes with his beloved. In your forest, this is your forest. Knowing this, I bow down before your feet. Please be merciful to me. Please make the tree of my desires quickly bear its fruit. O virtuous Queen Vrinda, this person begs your permission to present his appeal before your king and queen, whose feet he has long yearned in his heart to attain. Please cast your merciful glance on me. Please be kind to me. And then he begins his prayers to Srimati and Kanaya. Sort of a little speck of that mood can infect our cover or touch our japa. Certainly, our time here will be extremely successful beyond our ability to comprehend.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
two surprises for you today. And I will not talk much, but I will talk short and pragmatic. Today is our first attempt to knock at the door of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. In our Japa retreat, so far, we have talked about three levels of chanting. And we have said that these three levels are levels which interchange. In other words, sometimes a devotee is on level A, sometimes on level B, and sometimes on level C. Sometimes he will try his best to make the circumstances ideal for his japa. He will take care of his sitting. He will try to sit straight. He will try to pronounce with his tongue the holy name. This is level A. Level B means he now engages his mind in the chanting. He thinks very much about the meanings of the holy name, like Oh Hare, please attract my mind towards you. Or he will think, Oh Hari, please give me some knowledge about you through your devotees. Or he will think, O Radhe, please instruct me in some service to you. In other words, on the second level, he will chant and while chanting do mantrata chintata, meditating about the meaning. For today, I recommend the meaning which works very, very nice. Please accept me. Just this. Please accept me. Once, one of my godbrothers who does 24-hour kirtans, I mean, he does 6 hours with in that 24-hour shift, kirtan, was asked, how do you put your mind into chanting? And he gave a very profound answer. He said, you have to think about the meaning of chanting. Now we will go one level deeper, and I also encourage you today on your first extra round stay, please remember this word, extra round stay, to put your heart into the chanting. And when you put your heart into the chanting, the best way is really to take that little feeling of Dodaivam, which some of you begin to feel, that feeling that I am so unfortunate, I am so wretched, I am so fallen, to take that into your chanting, but in a special way. My godbrother was also asked, his name is Indra Prabhu, how do you put your heart into the chanting then? And he said, Maharaj, we are separated from Krishna, from Radha Krishna and their service. And that's not good. So we express our desire to be with Radha and Krishna, our heart's desire through the chanting. And we do the chanting in a special way where we feel the separation. So three levels where I request you to go at times. Sometimes you may start on the external platform, Do I sit properly? Do I pronounce properly? Is the chanting there, or am I the mega jet setting where I'm finished with one round in 2.5 minutes and have most probably jumped over half of the beats and so on? So first is you correct your external things. You're just like a craftsman working on the building of your japa. Second level is you go into the meditation about the meaning. Please accept me. And the third is you express your longings out of a feeling of separation to Krishna. Now these are three knocks at the door of Radha Syam Sundar. In this little graphic, which I request Ratnabhushana to hold, and maybe our Jaini Thai, can you please hold this? I also require a stick for this. I'm sorry, I will be like this a little one? Yeah, like this, that everyone can see it. Yes. Anyone has a stick? Sasha, there must be sticks lying around. For now, I take the Olovka. No, we have. Yes, we have stick. Yeah. I see a very special devotee in the back. Radhe, Radhe. Stick is coming? No, Babaji will bring us the real stick. Oh, huge stick. Very good, very good. Dhanyavad Baba. Oh, Dhanyavad. Very first class stick. You are the best. Yes, this stick is proper. Please pass the stick. Hare Krishna. So, my dear devotees, what do you see here? You see three keys. Is that correct? You are wrong. You see three gates. You see four gates. You are wrong.
There are four gates there.
Listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. The fourth key and the fourth gate is not what you see. It is an apricot key, not manifested key. And it is an unmanifested gate. But we have painted it here. You will understand in a moment. Just remain and keep your intelligence switched in. You will need it. First level of chanting, where we go through the first threshold. We can take this key. This key is opening the first gate to chanting. That is when we do our endeavor to chant properly with our tongue, our words, and so on. The first level of chanting. Then we go further. We want to get into the palace where Radha Syam Sundar are, where the personification of the name is the Naam Prabhu and the Naam Ishwari. Huh? So the second gate is when we bring our mind to chanting. You will need this key. This is the mind key. There is a parrot on top of that key who always talks. This parrot needs to chant with a full attention and with meditating about the gate where you really think, oh, please accept me. Please accept me. We go further. Here's the third gate. This comes when you bring your heart into the chanting. Heart into the chanting means where you chant with some feelings of separations, like Burijan Prabhu has read from the Utkalika Valari, where Rupa Goswami says, I'm sitting in this forest of Braj. My heart has burning wounds from the separation. Now we come, just I want to show like this. We come here to the final gate before we meet Nam Prabhu and Nameshwari. For that we require a key which we can never get. For that there is a gate which we can never crash. That gate doesn't open from the outside. That gate only opens from the inside. The key has to be turned from the inside by Radha and Krishna personally. It's their key of their ever-free mercy, something which is never, ever, even with the littlest bit under our control. So I request you, during this Japa retreat, no, during this first session, to first try to open this gate. Sit properly, chant, put the vibration there, then continue. Put your mind there, please accept me. Then the third gate, the third key is waiting for you. My dear Lord, I'm separated from you, please, please. And then throw yourself on the ground of Vashana. If you can do that today or tomorrow, or in 1 year, or in 20 years, or in the next life, or in 5 more lifetimes, you have to throw yourself in a feeling your helplessness before the gate and call with kakuti. Kakuti means an intense feeling of contrition, feeling sorry. Huh? And then Nam Prabhu and Nameshwari, if they desire, will open the door from the inside and reveal their beauty. You will see this a few times more. For now we will take it down. You will see it one more time during this, during today. Please keep this in mind. Huh? You're all silent. So, just a few other remarks. Today is our extra rounds day. Our idea is that we want to give a facility for everyone to chant 64 rounds. Those of you who are beginners in the chanting, please add 4 extra rounds, then add 4 more extra rounds, then 4 more extra rounds. I would try say the minimum for all of us, even the very most fallen beginner, should be 25 rounds today. But try to go closer to the 64 rounds. And you will see, if you keep the painting in your mind and know what the gates are and what the keys are, you will make extraordinary experiences today. Adi Purusha raises his hand. More explanations will come. What are the clouds and what are the rays? There are many more things in this, but we are just beginning to work with this. Yes. Some surprises need to be there in life. All right, this is the one thing. Don't, in other words, bring into your mind the idea that chanting is a terrible austerity by forcing yourself too much. You will send the wrong signal into the mind. You know, in one Gurukul, I think it was the American Texas Gurukul, the teachers would try to motivate the children by saying, whenever they did something wrong, chant for punishment, chant four rounds after the school. So the children had to do it. And afterwards, do you think, did they like the chanting? They had in their consciousness, chanting is a punishment. Chanting should be joyfully performed with a nice heart and Hare Krishna, best activity, best place, not this Western achievement and competition. No one will ask you how many rounds you chanted. No one. Except yourself. You yourself will ask yourself the question. So at 2 o'clock, then we can have our break, and right after the break, snack. This is also good to hear something on an empty stomach, makes the good better appetite. Yes. Alright, so at 2 o'clock, we will all gather either here. We will have to see where the sun is positioned at that time, so that we find a shady place. But there's not much going on here, except for, I mean, lilas and many things. I mean, what I want to say, it will be, there's a lot of going on, but what I want to say is, you will easily find us. So at 2 o'clock we meet again for an inspirational meeting. Those who are just captured by Nam Ruchi during that time, an intense taste, don't need to come for the inspirational meeting. We will chant Purijam Prabhu, will enlighten us further, and so on and so forth. They can just go from now to 4 o'clock.
Huh? So
2 o'clock, yes. So I really wish every one of you the wonderful time of chanting here. Please approach it with utmost sincerity, but also with flexibility at the same time. Now you may either stay here for the beginning to chant, or you might like to find an appropriate place where you find. And we see each other again at 2 o'clock. Don't forget to take water and the shade. Radhe, Radhe.